I was far distant from the microphone. It stuck the cable. Let me unstick it. It's stuck on this bottom drawer that's broken. There, I opened the drawer, now I closed the drawer, now I have my cable back, and I'm now within decent audio distance. I'm speaking about 6 inches away, and it's showing on the average power green lights, and on the peaks, it's showing a few yellows, and I emphasize just a few, about two at the most, and the yellows are occurring at negative 8 dB on the Duro. There's nothing whatsoever showing in the upper range, in the peak. That's where I should have it. I should close talk it like this. Now I'm getting up into the peaks. So I'll turn it back to you and hear what you have to say. This is N2IRJ in Jackson, New Jersey. And just a second, I need to get back to my flex. That button pushing method I implemented really is serious. It goes by the last button, so I have to hit the MOX button first because I was already on Audacity. When I started Audacity, that was the last thing I clicked on, so it would just stop Audacity. So here goes. I'm unkeying now into RJ back to WB4AIO near Beaverdale, Pennsylvania.
Okay, I think I double moved you a little bit. It sounds a lot better when you close talk the microphone. And you're coming through reasonably well. Are you running amplification or just 100 watts right now?
I was running 100 watts. And now I'm running amplification. Can you tell a difference?
Yeah, it seems noticeably stronger now. I hope I'm coming through okay because I am not running amplification. Just 100 little watts here from western Pennsylvania. And it sounds like, unlike the other day, we can actually hear each other and communicate.
That's right. I'm going to get over my shyness, and we're going to have some nice QSOs come in the future. It turns out that the noise level here is S5, and when you talk, it goes to S5 and 3/4. So even with only that amount of signal-to-noise ratio, I can still detect your high fidelity. Over.
Wow. I wonder why I'm getting such good reports all over the place and I get pathetic reports from you. Maybe you're just trying to make me feel bad, Marty. Over.
I think I'm the only last guy on the planet who's honest.
You're the last guy on the planet who's honest. Hey, wait a minute. That means I'm not honest.
Well, I was going to incorporate you two, but I figured you assumed that we already knew that. Yeah, I looked at it again, straight on, no parallax error, if that's even possible, with one of these computer screens. It was exactly what I told you. In fact, it was a little bit weaker this time. The band will come up, I suspect, on this transmission of yours.
Well, there's no telling what the band is going to do. I was listening up frequency, and I heard WA1HLR transmitting, and on AM, of course, up around 7289, I think. And then there was another AM QSO up on 7295. I did not hear who that was. I do hear my own voice coming through the telephone very faintly, but it's not loud enough to cause an echo, I hope. It's been a lovely day here today, Marty. The temperature has been in the 60s and the 70s almost all day. It's been mostly sunny, but not unrelentingly so. And even when the sun is shining bright, there's a pleasant, refreshing breeze that's blowing all the time. So it's a really nice day here in the Allegheny Mountains. You really haven't told me how your day has gone yet, so why don't you tell me how everything went and how you're feeling and how many wires you soldered. N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
Okay, before I get into all of that, let me reset some controls. I'm decreasing my drive level to 66 because even at 80 it tripped off. Let me reset the amplifier right now. It tripped on both power amp and SWR. Same thing again. Let me unkey and try from unkeyed position. By the way, I don't know if you can tell, but I changed bandwidth. Over.
Yes, I definitely can tell, and it sounds really, really sweet on the recording. Sounds beautiful. I love those extra high frequencies.
Okay, whoop, tripped off again. Even at 66 drive, let me knock it down even more. My VizWire claims it's okay. Let me hit tune again. It says 1.1 to 1, and I'm running at 52 watts of drive. Let me power down the amplifier. There's a delay in it coming back on, but it looks like it's, nope, they're tripped off again. The amplifier is telling me that there's bad VizWire out there. And the first trip off was on power amp. And now I'm getting two lights that I've reduced power. It's tripping off on both SWR and power amp. Over.
When you put it in the tune mode, Marty, when you put the transceiver in the tune mode and the amplifier is on, what kind of SWR is the amplifier seeing on its own SWR meter? N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
By the way, that time you went up to an S9. Nice copy. It's going up to, well, if I reset it, I want to say 3 to 1. I'll try resetting it. Yay. Yeah, it's up. Yep, it kicked off. It's only showing actually about 2.5 to 1. But 2.5 to 1 with an overly sensitive amplifier, you know, that's all she wrote. I don't know. Maybe I should run, if I run even less power, hold on, I'll knock it down to 40, the drive. We might not have the world's strongest QSO, but at least we'll have a QSO with amplification. According to this, I'm putting out over 500 watts, and it's not tripping offline due to the VizWire, and the power amp isn't. So now we finally have our bandwidth, and we have our power. How about that? N2IRJ.
Okay, that's great. N2IRJ from WB4AIO. And you're sounding good in the wider bandwidth. I really enjoy the extra frequencies, the extra articulation, and the personality that comes across. So, well, yeah, apparently if you have a 2.5-to-1 SWR up here, we're only 25 kilohertz from the top edge of the band, you really must have lost a significant amount of height or something on your 40-meter element, because it's resonance point is it's now somewhere outside the band where it used to be in the band. Over.
That's right. I concur. It's probably resonating at 7.5 megacycles. It used to resonate around the AM window or up around 7284 where the Johnstown guys were. And it would let me go down as low as, you know, the general portion of what the band was back then, which I think was 7.150 I take it back. That was the extra band, 7.225, I believe, and it was still okay, but it was rising, and I was okay with it. But ever since the hurricane, something has changed, and I hate to Mickey Mouse. Oh, it's tripped offline again. Hold on. Okay, it's back online. Let me lower my power even more. It's down to 40, and I'll put it down to 34. I'm at 34 right now. Maybe that's what it'll tolerate. But I'm still able to, in theory, put out 500 watts. But I found that whenever you have high VSWR, power gauges read falsely. And I don't know if I can really believe it. According to the Flex, my forward power is as high as 35 watts on peak. Typically, it's around the high 20s. I'm looking at the Duro, and by close talking it like this, I'm still not reaching the peak zone. Unless I get really close like this, then I'm getting into the peak zone. The only problem is the 40-meter RF is getting into the Duro and artificially illuminating the whole upper range in a dim fashion, so it can't fully be trusted. Back to you, Kevin.
Well, it's working. When you tried to make it artificially go up high by talking real loud into it, it got a little squirrely sounding. But for the most part, it sounded good. And the conditions seem to be fairly decent at the moment, because when your amplifier tripped out last time, I guess you were only putting out 40 watts or so, and I could still understand everything you said even at the 40 watt level. So I have some hopes that maybe my little 100 watts will do a decent job.
Yes, I watched the meter the entire time, and my noise level was still an S6, but you were going up to an S7 and an S8, and your all-time record was possibly the thickness of the hand above an S9, but you did hit S9 a couple of times before.
Well, that's great. And apparently you're hearing me reasonably well to understand what I'm saying. You don't seem to be missing anything, so that's good. I have some hopes that we will be able to communicate, especially when I get an amplifier, which I've been looking at. I saw an Alpha 78 on eBay today. That looked very interesting. It's a three-hole. It's the 38874. It's three of the expensive tubes in that one. It looks extremely clean and was owned by a dentist.
Oh, that sounds enticing. By the way, I had to crank my power back to 30. I'm at a drive level of 30 now, and I'm only seeing upward hits of 29. That's the maximum. I'm looking at the Duro, and it's looking like it did originally, where I'm not really getting into the peak zone. My peak portion of the LEDs is staying within the average range, and it's not even reaching the red. But if I talk more closely, you mentioned that I sort of sounded swirly like this. Right now I'm talking real close, about half an inch away, and I'm managing to get red lights on average power, and intermittently I get a red light on peak. But it's not right because of that RF getting into it. Over.
Yeah, I think maybe your mic preamp is clipping a little bit when you do that extreme close talking, because I do hear what sounds like a little bit of low frequency distortion. It's not severe, but it's definitely audible. But the moderate close talking sounds the best. If you're far distant from the microphone, it sounds hollow and echoey, and there's no bass. So the moderate close talking, I think, is appropriate for the way things are set up now. And are you able to listen to me in the 7.5 bandwidth?
Yes, I'm listening to you and recording in that bandwidth right now.
Oh, that's great. This is WB4AIO, and this may be the first time you've been able to fully appreciate the golden tone.
Yes, that time you went up to 8 1/4.
Wow, man, S8 1/4. Make sure you don't have parallax error with that software meter there. Make sure you turn your head way over to the left and way over to the right and average the two readings.
Yeah, I don't know if it's possible to have parallax error with one that's flat with the numbering, but I did it both ways and it's all the same. It keeps coming up the same numbers. We know about the band, and you asked about my day. See, what I'm a little worried about on the way I'm being processed is I can hear my own breathing back through the speakers with this SWR problem especially. And maybe it's a good thing. Maybe I should adjust this thing at worst case scenario so I don't hear my own breathing. I think by the time it gets to you, that part of the signal has died off, and it just sounds clear. It's actually better to be a little bit overemphasized on this end. If that is the case, I'm willing to live with that. You were asking about my day. No wires got soldered. Laura had her MRI at, 3:30, and she went to the PC warehouse. They kept her laptop. And now she's at the drugstore and the grocery store to get fresh food. Over.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope that it was an enjoyable outing for her. And I hope the PC warehouse people are able to solve the problem with the laptop screen. Clara and I did a lot of things today. We went out and looked for a shelf. She needs shelving for her room because she, you know, had all the original stuff that she came with the last time she lived here, and now she's brought even more stuff. And I think she wants to move the desk out of her room and put a large shelf there to store some of the things she needs to store, so she can have. Well, she's really gotten into organization, and her room looks very nice and organized. And I want to encourage her to continue to do that. So we went to the St. Vincent de Paul thrift store, which is the only thrift store that delivers. And we looked at shelves, but we didn't really see any we liked. We saw a couple we liked at the Goodwill, but they would have to be extremely disassembled in order to get them in the Mustang. And so we declined to buy those. And where else did we go? We went to the video store to return some videos. We went to the Salvation Army store and got a couple of new pieces of clothes for her. And what else did we do? Well, we went to the cafe. There's a cafe in the Giant Eagle now. And so we went to the cafe in the Giant Eagle and we had a drink and we played poker. And we used Giant Eagle artificial sweetener packets for chips, and Clara was beating me for a long time, but finally I triumphed over her. She made one large bet, and I happened to win that hand, and so I was declared the official poker champion of the day. N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
Well, congratulations. You quit when your luck was working for you. Poor Clara. Statistically, she's probably the winner, but you got that lucky hand. I don't know how to play poker. Oh, I guess the phone call got hung up on. Let me hang up. I hung up the phone. That way, if someone wants to call in, they'll be able to. Anyway, what about my sibilance? Is it excessive, or are you hearing my breathing noises or my snorting? Because I am, and I really don't like it. I'd like to talk right here. Here's where it's comfortable for me, but I bet you it sounds too low on your end. Over?
No, actually, I think the prism is bringing it up. That sounds pretty good. It might actually be a little low, but the prism is bringing it up where it's quite clear. And in the 7.5 bandwidth, you have an unbelievably large amount of high frequencies and mid frequencies. It's very, very clearly articulated. Over.
Well, that's very encouraging. Well, I wish I could advise you on something that you could change to improve yours, but at the moment, every angle that I'm analyzing it from, it seems to be exactly right. So I will keep trying to critique it and find any fault possible, but so far it's just like you're being in the room, and it's pleasant sounding, to, you know, as well. Over.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I am running an EQ curve that does give some weight to the fundamental frequencies in my voice, say from 40 to 100 hertz. But it sort of de-emphasizes the mid-bass frequencies and starts to rise again about 400 hertz. And there's a rise from 400 to about 1,000, where it levels off for a while, and then there's another articulation rise in the EQ curve up above 2,500 or so. And that rises quickly and then flattens out. And of course, I have the bandwidth limit set to about 30 hertz and 10,000 hertz. And that's in addition to the brick wall filtering that's taking place inside the Flex. The EQ curve is modified by the three-band processor, the Aphex peak limiter. That modifies the EQ curve in a dynamic way and sort of tends to maintain a more consistent sound. So probably my actual energy response is somewhat flatter than the EQ curve would suggest, because the EQ curve is always being pushed toward flat by the Aphex. If you can understand all that, that's how the audio is going here. And I have a mixer that's very similar to yours. It's a Behringer X1204. It's not identical to yours. It has fewer channels, and a few of the features in the channel strip are not identical. But the basic topology and the basic circuits used, for example, in the mic preamp and the output stage are all about the same. So it probably has a very similar oral character to your input device. So there are a lot of similarities going on here. And we're both running Power SDR. I guess that's a similarity, too. Over.
Yes, I hear a woman speaking, but I think it's probably a Chinese broadcast. That time you managed to make it up to 2 dB over S9, and I'm finally being able to give you a better report. Originally, when your signal was weaker, I was going to say that there was a slight hint of your voice not being natural, which is okay. It's okay to tailor it, but the way it was sort of like an old codger running a carbon microphone, but nothing that bad, nothing even close to being that bad. It just seemed like you ever so slightly tweaked it in the exact way that you described. And it was actually advantageous for the band conditions. It brought your audio through clearly. But then when your signal went up to a 2 over S9, there was enough power elsewhere to bring up the presence and the higher pitches, and it sounded then, I want to say, just like your voice. I'd have to hear more of it. It was just a brief instant. It was there. But it when we have conditions where you can give me what I'm giving you or better, then I'll really be able to critique it, and we'll be able to critique it at various bandwidths too. Over.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun. I think the main thing I need is power, because you're not running a lot of power, but, you know, you're running probably 3 or 4 times the amount of power I'm running, and you are 10 to 15 over 9, and you're definitely loud enough where I can hear subtleties in your audio. You're not suppressing all the noise on the channel, but you're suppressing it well enough where if there were any distortion or anomalies, I would certainly hear them. And the only thing I would say is right now maybe the articulation is what it should be, but maybe we need a little bit more in the deep low end. I would say we need a little bit more in the deep low end to be a perfect ESSB. And I would also say there's just a microscopic amount of roughness, which I think is coming from the way I have the ALC and the Compander set. I think I need to tweak those. But pretty soon I'll set a date and I'll do that for you. And we'll get several different profiles set up, both the SSB profiles and, maybe we could call the other profiles the old codger profiles for the guys who run narrow bandwidth and have hearing loss and use 3-inch speakers. How about that? WB4AIO.
This is N2IRJ in Jackson, New Jersey, returning. That's pretty funny. Yeah, that would really be neat. I think that I should get over my mic fright shyness and talk more. And by doing so, you'll have more opportunity to consciously and subconsciously imprint in your mind what you're hearing under various conditions, and in doing so, you'll be able to be more creative in your assignments and your weightings when you do come out here to adjust things. I was going to ask you a question, but I realized it's not something you can answer in a split second. It was something you'd have to think about involving all this ham stuff that when you're coming out, you might do. Was it the roughness? Was it... Well, it might have had something to do with PCs, too. I don't know. I'll say it over the phone, because it would take a while to think about, and maybe even a few days. It was a question kind of like that. I'm not sure. I heard a noise at the front door, but it's possible. Laura is back already. I don't know. Also, varying band conditions. Being that your signal is sometimes on the verge of the noise floor, it's really neat how it still is penetrating. It changes, and as the band comes up, the rest gets filled in, and it still sounds all the more wonderful and natural, and nothing at all like the old codger sound. Nothing. You know, when you're over S9, you don't sound that way anymore. And even when you do, it's very subtle. It's more along the lines of how you said you deliberately boosted the levels for articulation purposes. So with that, I'll send it back to you, N2IRJ.
Oh, by the way, I got an eBay Christmas present today. Did you get any eBay Christmas presents? Over.
Good question. I was wondering that today, and I figured Laura would probably check that on the way in, so I don't know yet. Over.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got a spool of 14-gauge solid copper wire. That stuff's been going for about $55 or something like that from Lowe's and Home Depot and places like that. Although I never shop at Home Depot because they support illegal immigration south of the border. But anyway, the prices have been high on the copper wire. But I said, usually when you see it on eBay, the guys who are selling the wire, you know, they know what it's worth, and they charge just as much as you'd have to pay at the building supply store. But in this case, the guy let it go for cheap. He let it probably got it for $20 off. I grabbed it because in the future I'll be building more antennas. This is WB4AIO.
That's right. It also reminds me that I owe a call to the wireman. Remember that big bill I got? And I couldn't believe copper prices had gone up that much for a 14-gauge wire. And I like to build with 12, as you know. And there was theoretically a back-ordered spool of 12. And I don't know if they charged me for it and never sent it or what the story is. By the way, that transmission, the band QSB down, and you were above the noise level, but the noise level was a 6 and you were about a 6.5. Over.
Well, I guess I'm just barely holding out with my little QRP transmitter, but it is still amazing to me that you're hearing me with a decent fidelity and understanding almost all of my words, if not all of my words, and my only transmitter is this little black box, you know, like 8 inches by 10 inches by 6 inches. It's connected to my computer. Pretty amazing.
It is. In fact, in that transmission, you went up to an S8, and from about S8 on up, you quickly start to sound full. It's definitely better to 2 over S9, like it was the one time, but I can tell that so far everything seems right, but I'm going to still try hard to help, and I hope you can do the same. Oh, I know. Here's my question from before. And incidentally, Laura did come in the front door. I hear her downstairs. What should we do with the damn Duro meter, this RFI ingress problem? And I know this is not a question to be answered on the spot. You might have to think about it for days. But I think that, you know what I'm thinking of doing? I'm thinking the first thing I should do is get the antenna to be resonant, and then that might fix the problem in and of itself.
Yes, you're right, it might. But of course, when you go to even higher power, you might have another problem. I guess we'll just have to take it band by band, perfect everything on each band, and eliminate the RF step by step, piece by piece. And eventually, with enough baby steps and problems defeated, eventually they'll all be defeated. I mean, my initial feeling is to try experimenting with the grounding. I know you, at this point, I think you have grounded both sides of the shield. Maybe ungrounding one side of the shield would work better. I don't think we have ever done the basic first step of bonding all of the chassis that are in the rack to a single common point on the rack. That would be something that I would do even, you know, before anything else. That would be the first thing I'd do. And if that doesn't take care of it, then, you know, you might have to experiment with putting a 500 picofarad capacitor across the input line. You might have to experiment with running the AC power through a toroid. Well, you know, there's probably an infinite number of things you can try, and eventually we'll hit on the right one.
Yeah, roger on that. And you said something that reminded me of what I heard the guys on 3636 chatting about, and that is that they appreciate the ESSB with Vox. And the one guy wasn't using Vox, Al, and they talked over him a lot, and he got pissed. But then they explained to him it was all in good nature. They didn't really mean to do it in a mean way, which was true. But it wasn't to me, I mean, I'm used to Liberty Net transmission, so to me, it wasn't really a long transmission. But they like to get their ESSBs set up like you do, where the sound is perfect, and then they use Vox, and they perfect their Vox to the point of where it doesn't drop out in between words. It actually drops out in between syllables. And the way they perfect it is that the listening party doesn't even know that it's dropping out between syllables. Imagine that.
Yeah, that's hard to imagine that that wouldn't cause audible artifacts, but maybe there's some secret to it I don't know about.
Yeah, didn't you say that you like to use Vox, especially on ESSB or regular rag chewing?
No, I have never used Vox in my life. I don't like Vox, but I do like fast break-in, but I just use push-to-talk for fast break-in.
Okay, that's what I remembered, at least, the quickness.
To me, it's very disconcerting to think that the noises in the room can suddenly key my transmitter. I don't like that, over.
Yeah, well, it reminded me of a circumstance. I've heard this circumstance maybe three times in my life, and it was up around 3950. Maybe it was exactly on 3950. Geez, by now it must be 5 or 10 years. But one of the Forelanders, I think, left his on Vox, and his dog was barking and moving around and doing things, and it just went on for hours and hours and hours. And I figured out exactly what was going on. And I want to say, at a later date, I might have heard them even joking about it and talking about it. They did make the discovery. But I heard that happen to other people, too, already.
Well, I've also heard of people falling asleep on the air and transmitting their snoring sounds over the air.
That's funny.
It could also be that if you have Vox and you have the volume turned down in your radio and your radio has very quiet relays, that you could get on the telephone and be talking to somebody and saying some very confidential things, and every word you say is being transmitted on 40 meters or 75 meters.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. You have to be careful when you use Vox to be alert and remember to turn it off, especially if you have gain settings that make things clear. In fact, I think I actually got a recording once where the wife was hollering. There was a hollering match between the husband and wife, and I think I got a recording of it partially. Not that I was trying to, but I was making a recording at the time for other reasons, and it just so happened to accidentally end up there. And I was thinking, oh boy, isn't this a doozy?
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Somebody has moved in on 70, so I guess we've lost part of our bandpass. I don't know if it's causing you to have to narrow your bandwidth or not, but I guess so we can still do 5. Or we can stay at 7.5 if I'm stronger than he is. Over.
Yeah, it turns out that the newcomers next to us forced me to reduce my bandwidth to 5. I tried 6K, and then I'm now down to 5K, and that's the only way I'm able to copy you. And I was going to ask you, which is a question I believe I asked you before, and you told me the answer is no, but I was hearing Al, I think today or yesterday, test his built-in recorder for calling CQDX, where he would record his own voice. And I was wondering if this radio has that feature.
think it does, Marty. N2IRJWB4AIM. Yeah, boy, I hate going to 5 kilohertz. That's such a terrible mode. I don't know why they did that to us. We have the channel completely to ourselves, entire 7.5 KC, and they just come right on 70 anyway. Well, what can I say? People don't understand ESFP, I guess. As far as the recording, I think the only quick recording that's built into PowerSDR is the record and playback button that you see right underneath the mox and the mute buttons. However, I do believe you can use that to record your own voice. If you start recording while you're transmitting and stop recording while you're still transmitting, it will be a recording of only your voice. In fact, let me try that right now. I'll even say CQDX. CQDX, CQDX, CQDX. This is not a real CQDX. This is only a test. No more stuff. Okay, now I'm still transmitting. Now I'm still live. Let's play back the recording and see if it actually works for that function. CQDX, CQDX, CQDX. This is not a real CQDX. This is only a test. Now I'm going to stop. Okay, see, it did what it's supposed to do. So you can use it for that function, but you have to make the recording while you're transmitting, and then you can play it back just like those CQDX guys. So that'll use B4AIO.
Roger, that was a neat demonstration, but then I think you'd have to recreate it every time you had a QSO with somebody. You couldn't save it in memory. You'd have to, I guess, export it to be an MP3 file or something, and then just have that looping around back again over and over with a button to push or something.
Well, as long as you never record over it, I think it'll stay there.
Yeah, I just temporarily tried widening the bandwidth from 5 to 6K. No good. 6K has splash, so I have to stay here at 5. Are you able to comfortably copy me still at 7.5, or did you have to reduce your audio standards as well?
Yeah, I switched to a 5. The signal of the other guy is, it's not overpowering you, but it's loud enough to be really annoying.
Yeah, with 6, he still annoys me, and at 5, he's gone.
Yes, well, these filters are amazing.
That was about a 3 over S9.
Wow, 3 over S9, man, oh man. All I have to do is do that 10 times and I'll have a 30 over S9.
Yeah, if you could add it that way. That video I was watching, I spoke to you about on YouTube, it was in Spanish, so I couldn't understand it. But at least they visually showed you step by step on how to make that directional Wi-Fi antenna.
Ah, very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I know some people have made homemade antennas by using Pi tins. They just get a USB dongle transceiver, and then they mount it in a Pi tin, or they mount it in a coffee can. They do all kinds of crazy things, but it really does make an effective directional antenna, and it works amazingly well. WB4AIO.
Yeah, in the early days, maybe 10 years ago, I made a Yagi, and I used, let me think, what did I use? Somehow I came out of the computer and I had something with something rigid, non-conductive, I think, and I had putty, and I would put putty on the varying lengths of wires cut to the proper lengths, and I would play with the spacings and look at the signal indicator and everything. I spent so many hundreds of hours on those projects. I have appreciation for someone who's not only succeeded but made a YouTube video of it. It was not easy, but it worked, and it was fun. It was really neat to be able to extend the range like that. And that was before I had access to preamplifiers and, you know, transmitters of 2.4 gigahertz. It was a four-element Yagi. It was a cute little thing. It was made with green enameled wire. And when I would tune it, I'd have to just snip off like portions the size of my fingernail, or if I moved element spacing, same thing. Really tiny.
Oh, that's really neat. I guess that was back in the early days when you were first discovering Wi-Fi. I guess the farthest distance I've ever received a Wi-Fi signal is about 1 mile, and that's the one I was telling you about, the watchmaker's one. I never, you know, could connect to it, and I wouldn't anyway, but the signal was definitely reading out on my insider graph. And I understand people who make a hobby out of experimenting with that stuff, though, can, you know, have two of these highly directional antennas pointed at each other over a very clear path, and they can actually communicate, you know, send files back and forth and communicate, connect to the internet even, over a 10-mile range using Wi-Fi.
Holy heck, I would have never believed that distance. They have to be running some power, bidirectional power, I think, but then I would believe it. That's really, really impressive. Back in my days, the internet articles on the subject, the record was like 1.1 miles across a pond. Two buddies were experimenting with all the various methods. I, by the way, switched back to 7.5 and on the receive, and it's clear. It's okay now. So maybe it's okay on your end as well.
Oh, that's very nice. I can switch to 7.5 also, and you sound notably brighter.
And to IRJ, well, thank you. You're always notably brighter.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, in that last transmission, when you said thank you very much, it sounded like a professional announcer saying thank you very much. I mean, the intonations were there. I mean, everything. So even with these imperfect band conditions and, you know, our lack of power and everything over our skip distance, I think we have good things yet to come. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think you'll need to set my system up to be maybe a little bit more, I don't want to say harsh, but piercing than normal, just so by the time it gets to the other party, it sounds normal? Over.
Well, I guess that's basically what you do always when you're transmitting over a noisy channel. That's what you're doing right now, in fact. So, yes, I mean, you seem to be worried that you're going to give up all of that, but no, I just want to give you a little bit more low bass, and I want to make it so that slight trace of harshness from hitting the ALC goes away. So, there, you know, the changes I'm going to make in your wider bandwidth profiles are going to be very, very subtle. You've got nothing to worry about.
So you really won't be needing an oscilloscope with the ability to measure in 1 dB increments?
Well, I think an oscilloscope would be very, very nice, but an oscilloscope isn't primarily useful for measuring decibels of frequency response or anything like that. The oscilloscope is mainly useful for seeing if the peak power is consistent, and also to see if the peaks are flattened, to see if you're driving any of your amplifier stages into any kind of clipping. And that's really what the oscilloscope is useful for.
Well, being that I'm only 30 feet away from the antenna, in fact, if I use the 20-meter beam on the roof, I'm only about 10 feet away if I'm lucky. Maybe the oscilloscope doesn't even need a tap into the main line, as described by you twisting the wire pair and as the other guy on 3636 spoke of using the inductive method. Maybe just having a test lead dangling would pick up enough RF. What do you think?
Well, that often does work. That often does work, but when you move your body, the level will change. Often there's a hum pickup from magnetic fields, stray magnetic fields, so it sort of corrupts the waveform. It's better to have a direct pickup, but you can sort of get a general idea of what's going on with a little piece of wire clipped to the input. That often does work. Over.
Yeah, he was saying about putting his right by the output, right in the middle, between, let me think, I think he said between the output of the radio and the amplifier, or maybe it was between the radio and the antenna, but I was thinking, shouldn't it be after the amplifier so you can evaluate its cleanliness too?
Definitely want to look at the output of the amplifier, because if you don't, you won't see if the amplifier is clipping or not. By the way, let me play a little recording I made of you and see how that comes across. Here is the recording.
You're always notably brighter.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, in that last transmission, when you said thank you very much, it sounded like a professional announcer saying thank you very much. I mean, the intonations were there, I mean, everything. So even with these imperfect band conditions, you know, our lack of power and everything, over our skip distance, I think we have good things yet to come.
So that is how you're sounding here in Beaverdale, Pennsylvania, N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
I left the pause for the scratching noise, and I want to return the favor, too. In a minute, I'll do that, and it'll be interesting to find out whether it gets recorded on Audacity. I wanted to report to you another RFI phenomenon. Whenever I key up using the spacebar on the keyboard, the mouse turns itself on. The red lights come on as though I moved the mouse, and I never did. If I were manually clicking with the mouse, I could understand why you would think it's my fault, but it's really not my fault. I'm not touching it whatsoever. And by the way, I asked Laura your question, do we have any presents? And her answer is yes, but she hasn't had a chance to open the envelopes yet. Over.
Yeah, wow, that's really great. I wonder what you've got. Probably some needful item for hooking up the phone patch and making audio goodness at N2IRJ. So look forward to hearing what the present was. Who knows, maybe you even got that peak limiter, which you can mount in your rack and look at the pretty lights and all that kind of thing. But it's almost every day is Christmas in Jackson, New Jersey. It's an amazing place. N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
Oh. Okay, well, that time the signal went up to a 2 over S9, so I took advantage of it. And I'm going to hit the playback now, and I hope it works. And we'll find out whether Audacity picks it up too. Here goes.
Making audio goodness at N2IRJ, so look forward to hearing what the present was. Who knows, maybe you even got that peak limiter, which you can mount in your rack and look at the pretty lights and all that kind of thing. But it's almost every day is Christmas in Jackson, New Jersey. It's an amazing place. N2IRJ, WB4AIO.